Hello, and welcome to the UX Hustle podcast. Today, I'm so excited because we have Hannah Jobe with us. Hannah just recently switched into UX and started her first UX job in January of 2020. She was previously a landscape architect and was in the architecture field for almost 6 years. In early 2021, she decided to make the switch to UX and enrolled in the Google UX certificate program through Coursera. Now Hannah is working at Max Media, an agency here in Atlanta that has also been a generous sponsor and host of UX Hustle Summit. In this episode, Hannah and I talk about pivoting into UX from architecture. I've been seeing a theme of a handful of different UXers with architecture backgrounds, and I'm so glad Hannah generously offered to share her recent experience. We talk about the unexpected transferable skills that architects bring with them into the UX world, especially for agency life. We talk about the imposter syndrome and other challenges to expect when changing careers, and even what to expect once you do land the job and actually get started as a UXer. I hope you enjoy this episode. Hello, and welcome to the UX Hustle podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Worthington. The goal of UX Hustle is to help UX designers design the career they love, maximizing the benefit of this multifaceted industry and strong community. We talk about what's really going on in UX and what it's like working in it, and interview people that are actively navigating their careers and UX. We don't expect to have all the answers, but we do keep searching, keep listening, and learning. Because at the end of the day, you are the user of your career. Well, welcome to the UX Hustle podcast. I'm so excited to have Hannah Jobe with us today. Welcome to the podcast, Hannah.
Thank you, Amanda. I'm excited to be here.
Yay. So, Hannah, can you tell us a little bit about where you're at in your UX career and how you kind of got here?
Yeah. So, I am what I would consider pretty brand new. I started my first UX position January of this year in 2022 at Max Media. And previously I was in the architecture field, and that's where I got my degree. That's what I went to school for. And I was practicing for about 6 years before I kind of got introduced into UX. So I made the transition last year. It's been really great. A career change is intimidating, to say kind of the least, but it's really paid off. And I'm really proud of myself, and I'm really glad that I made it here when I did. I feel really lucky in a lot of ways.
That's awesome. And I feel like having been in a career for 6 years and to make that decision to switch, that's a lot of inertia. Sounds negative, but I don't mean it in a negative way. I just mean like 6 years is a long time, and to decide to make a movement requires, I would think, a lot of small momentum moves to kind of get the ball rolling.
Yeah, well, it was a lot of thinking in the beginning because, you know, 6 years in the field, like you said, is a significant amount of time. It was a 5-year degree that I had to get. And so that's a lot of time that I've invested into, you know, this profession that I thought was going to be a consistent throughout my life. And so that's a big thing to consider, and it's a big thing to think about. And at times it's unnerving because you almost feel like you've wasted time, money, and resources, when really that's not the case. But when someone first told me about UX and how like I might like to switch careers, I was like, you're out of your mind. You know how much time and money I spent specializing in this one thing? Like, I kind of froze a little bit. Because like I said, it's a big decision, right? And I was totally scared to tell my dad.
Absolutely.
You know, telling the parents that what they helped you work towards, you don't need anymore. That's what it sounded like to me at the time, which is not the case now. But it all really worked out. And I, like I said, I feel very lucky. But it was a thought process I hadn't worked through before. So it all felt very new on a lot of different levels. I hadn't made a decision like this before. I didn't know anything about the tech world. And I had all these people telling me that I would like it and I would be a good fit for it. And that was interesting to hear other people's perspectives on something I knew nothing about.
Mm.
And that also kind of made me nervous.
Yeah, because especially when you're hearing from other people, it's like, okay, that's helpful. But also, and I love that example of telling your dad that, because it really speaks to you need to internalize that information and believe it for yourself to be able to have that conversation. So how did you get to that point where you were able to internalize that belief to the point that you were able to share it with other people?
A lot of research. Once I get an idea in my head and I'm trying to learn about something, all I feel like I spend my time doing is looking for articles and researching. Or I knew a few people who have made the transition specifically from architecture into UX. So I was calling them, I was texting them, I was trying to get an understanding for, you know, what this thing was going to look like for me and what they even do and if I even wanted to do it. Because when I start a decision, and when I start relaying that decision, I like to make sure I have just about, not just about, but a lot of the answers already figured out. I'm very lucky when it comes to my parents. They have a lot of trust in me, and that wasn't like a super intimidating conversation to have, as long as like I came with, I think, all the appropriate information. And not that my parents are dictating things that I'm doing. I'm almost 30, but it's still one of those things, you know, like you can't just switch your career and not tell people. So
yeah.
It was just a lot of looking for all the resources I could find, seeing people who have made the transition period from a non-traditional background, and then looking for more people who have made the transition specifically from architecture into UX, just to ease my mind a little bit about this leap that I was taking. Because once I realized I didn't have to go back to school, I could do a certificate or a boot camp. I was like, all right, this really doesn't seem real. Am I really going to quit this job and this profession that I have a certain amount of, you know, time invested into for a certificate that I feel I can get in a surprisingly short amount of time and not have to go back to school and not have to, you know, go into debt for it in some ways. And so it felt a little unreal. And again, that was one of those things going to other people or my parents where I was like, hey, like, I don't have to go back to school. I can just do the certificate course for a few months. And they're like, that does not sound right. And then I was like, actually, yeah, that doesn't sound right. But it was. And so it worked out. But I think for me to get comfortable with the idea, it was a lot of seeing what I could just like read and like get my hands on and what experiences I could hear about.
And that's so interesting, the double-edged sword of that, where it's like, oh, yeah, I can do this and do it in a way that feels really sustainable even. Where I don't have to go into a ton of debt. I don't have to sink like even more time and resources into this pivot. But also like that seems weird. Right? And like having that healthy amount of skepticism, I think is a good approach, like a healthy approach.
Yeah. Well, I think that was me like the whole time I was. So I did the Google UX certificate course on Coursera. And if you follow their timeline, it can take 6 months. It can take longer if you need, or it can take shorter if you need. But I was able to complete it in 4 months while working a full-time job. And one, I think I was just really motivated to get out of the job I was currently in. So I think that was kind of a factor for how I was able to do it a little bit quicker than the predetermined timeline. But throughout the whole course, I was like, there's no way this is how I'm going to switch my career. Like, I'm paying $40 a month for this, at maximum, a 6 month course, and someone's going to hire me based off of this. I mean, obviously I kept doing it and it worked, but the whole time I was like, this is fake. There's no way this is how this works. I think, what helped me throughout that was I did have my job that I was working, and, you know, I did have this experience in this whole other field. I wasn't going to, you know, be without a job if it took a long time to find a UX position, or if it turned out it didn't work, you know. So that, I think, eased a lot of my anxiety and my stress about it, was because I was going to be okay if it took longer or if it turned out that UX wasn't the direction I wanted to go. But yeah, the whole time I was like, this is a setup. There's absolutely no way. There's no way this is how I do this.
Well, and I'm curious with, through that transition, and there is this like, trust the process. Mm-hmm. In that, and trusting the paths that other people have gone through, that you're on the right path, that you will figure it out. And And not just trust in the process, but trust in yourself.
Yeah.
In your experience and your skills, and that you'll land on your feet and figure it out.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, what caused you to even get curious about UX design or even changing your career in general?
Let's see. So turns out I knew a few people that have switched specifically from architecture into UX. Some of them I went to school with, and I've known them for, I guess, oh my gosh, probably close to like 10 years now. And then there was one particular person who I worked with at my first architecture job who had switched into UX. And he was checking in with me after I had moved to Atlanta and just seeing how I was doing. He switched into UX. He told me about it. And he was like, I think you'd really enjoy this. You know, you're really into the front end of the architecture design process, which is usually, I guess, what we would call empathizing with the users. When you first get an architecture job, you do like your site inventory analysis. You look at what you have in front of you, how people are going to use this, what experiences you think they would like, as well as what the client wants to get out of it. And then you start thinking of all these little concept ideas and these big pictures. And he was like, you were good at project management and I've seen you do well there, but you really like doing the front end, like thinking. And that's a lot of what I do. And the work-life balance is really great. I think architecture might be a little, unfortunately, infamous for not having a great work-life balance. And he was like, you're gonna love it. Like my life has kind of like ironed itself out in a really amazing way. And I think it could do the same for you. So that's what got me thinking about it. And I think that was around like early 2021, around like February, he first told me about it. And that kind of got the ball rolling with me, like considering it. I think at first it was a conversation where I was like, oh, that's awesome for you. Like, I'm really happy. Like, that's great. Yeah. I'll read about UX. Because, you know, the idea of switching a career, I was like, you've lost your mind. We're in a pandemic. Like, where are the jobs? I don't have time to go back to school. You know, when I hear tech, I think I have to know something about coding or developing or computer science, and I knew none of that. So I was like, right. Thanks. But he was one of those things where I was like, yeah, I'll go read something about it. And then I actually did. And I was like, oh, he's right. Look at that.
That's so interesting of like how it just starts with that one conversation. Mm-hmm. And like something about it piquing your interest and getting you to like kind of follow the rabbit down the rabbit hole a little bit. Yeah. So for somebody who's listening, mm-hmm. who's maybe had that one conversation or had somebody send them that one article or read that one article and they're starting to think about it, what advice would you give that person?
I would figure out who you know. Like, what's your 6 degrees of separation between you and the industry? And that could be a person you went to school with, a friend of a friend, an old colleague. Because that was what helped me. Once I realized that this friend that reached out to me was in the industry, that gave me some ease because I knew I could talk to him about anything that I had questions about. And then I was actually on the Career Foundry website. I was looking at boot camps because he told me, you know, you could either get a certificate or you can go into a boot camp if that's what you wanted to do. And I was on the Career Foundry website, and a girl that I went to college with, her article for like recommending the Career Foundry bootcamp and how she made the switch from architecture to UX, there was an article on the website. And I was like, I know, oh my God, I know her. So then I reached out to her and I was like, hey, been a little while. I'm kind of working through this. You obviously did the same thing. And she's like, oh my God, that's amazing. I'd love to hear it. You would be great. Yes, everything he said is true. You should also talk to so-and-so that we went to school with. She's done the same thing. So then it just kind of opened up this network for all these people who coincidentally had done the transition from architecture to UX specifically that I now felt comfortable asking my questions to, no matter how big or small, and I could go to them for advice. And it also led to, I had a summer internship last year with a startup, and I was able to do it part-time along with the certificate course and my other job. Just start talking to people about it or figure out who you might know who might even be adjacent to the field. I have some friends who are computer science engineers and they know people in UX because they work with these UX designers. So, just talk about it. I mean, you can only get so much off of reading and from the internet. And I think the best way to get out there is to not isolate. That was kind of my, you know, what I did in the beginning. I was like, okay, what can I read? What reviews can I look at? What videos can I watch? And at another point, I was like, I need to talk to somebody. I've got to talk these things out. I got to just kind of like unload on someone who like knows what I'm trying to work towards. And that really helped. It opened up some networking opportunities, and it just kind of gave me a little more confidence because all these people were like, oh, we've done the same thing. Like, you're going to be fine. Honestly, you're going to be fine. It's going to work out, and you're doing great. So I think that's what helped me the most. It was great to have the resources and read stuff, but the human connection, I think, was incredibly important.
Yes. And like,
I mean, the human connection was what even told me about UX, mm-hmm. right? I didn't like mm-hmm. stumble upon it when I was reading something. It was someone who came to me and was like, you need to look at this.
Mm. Yeah. And like, actually, now's a great time to be like, hey, you can add us on LinkedIn. Like, you can add Hannah and me on LinkedIn yes. and just be like, hey, what's up? I'm dealing with this right now. We're humans.
Yes, exactly. Like, no, come talk to me. No, please come say hi. I've already convinced some of my other friends to switch. So I feel like, I don't know, I'm really excited. Now that I've found that this works, I'm like, oh, I got to tell everybody. I'm going to go tell everybody that I know that's, you know, at least yes. for me specifically, that's in architecture that might have some like, you know, uneasiness with how the industry is. Like, I got to go tell them about this. This feels like it's, you know, it feels illegal that this is something we can do. Yeah.
Yes. And once you made that decision, once you went through the Google course mm-hmm. and got your internship and you're going through this whole process, what was the job search part like? Like, was that a gradual process for you, or was it kind of like, okay, now I feel prepared, the next step is to go and find a job?
The job searching process, that was, let's see, I think I had a little bit of a reality check when it came to the job process, because I was really motivated to switch, and I was moving through the course a little bit quicker than the predetermined timeline. I was like, I got this. It's going to be great. I'm this hot new thing coming out of this Google UX course. It's going to be easy. And then I think there was 2 months of searching. I was just applying to stuff on job boards. You know, I had my spreadsheet. I think I had applied to like 40 places within the first 2 months. Wasn't really hearing stuff back. And if I was, they were no's. But I was telling myself they were still positive no's. They tried to like, you know, soften it up and be like, your portfolio looks great. But then I talked to the people that I went to school with and my past coworkers, and like, this is just how it goes. Do not think that, you know, you're not going to get a job. Typically the first 2 months, even 3 months, you don't really hear back, or it's a bunch of no's. So please don't get worked up about that. It's going to be fine. This is totally normal. So then once I kind of felt like I hit a wall with applying to job listings, that's when I started re-networking. So I did like the networking when I was trying to figure out if I wanted to switch. So in a similar sense, I hit a wall with all the research, and I was like, I gotta go talk to people. And then with the job search, I hit a wall with these job boards and job listings, so let me go talk to people. And for me, sometimes I need to go through those steps to know that I've tried all the options. But maybe if I'd switched or immediately went to just to talking to people, it could have been a little quicker. It might not have been. But that's when I started reaching out to people who were like, I knew in computer science. I was like, hey, do you know any UX designers that I can talk to? Because maybe they know people I can talk to. Or, you know, the people that I had met or had worked with in my internship, I was talking to them about where they were applying and what they were looking at and who they were talking to. And then what I started doing was, so I'm in Atlanta. I Googled UX design agencies in Atlanta. That's how I found Max Media. I had made the decision that I wanted to work at a design agency because I wanted some variety in projects, at least for my first job, because I also don't know where I would like to specialize within UX design. And so I wanted to make sure I was getting exposed to a bunch of stuff so I could figure out where I didn't want to be. And if I wanted to be in a very general role at a design agency, great, I was already there. But if I wanted to specialize, I wanted it to be in what I felt was a more flexible environment. Max Media came up in my search, and they looked like a really awesome team, a really cool company when I was looking on their website. And they did have a listing for a talent pool, but every time I saw a talent pool, I was always a little wary I was going to get, you know, just like put in a folder somewhere. So I went on to LinkedIn. I did the first free month of LinkedIn Premium so I could get into people's email inboxes. And I emailed Michelle Morgan, the lead designer at Max Media. And so I got in touch with her and I was like, hi, my name's Hannah. I'm making the switch from architecture to UX. I found your company and it looks really exciting. I'd love an opportunity to talk to somebody. And that's when she put me in touch with JD Jordan, who is the creative director at Max Media. And so that's how that got going. Phone calls happened from there. And now I started working at Max Media in January. So that's what ended up.
Also, just like shout out to Max Media, because Max Media hosted us for UX Hustle Summit. And we love Max Media at UX Hustle. Yes. And we love Michelle Morgan, who spoke at UX Hustle. We love JD. Mm-hmm. And that whole crew is just amazing. And also, I'm so curious because I just want to underline what you did because I think it's so smart. Because you decided what kind of role that you wanted based on what your goal was for your career in saying, right now, I just want the variety. I want to be able to see what my options are and get exposed to as many things as possible. For me, my head goes straight to agency. Awesome. I'm going to focus on agencies. Then from there, finding Max Media, finding a specific company, looking at their values, looking at the team, looking at what kind of projects they have. But then finding Michelle. And I suspect that when you found Michelle on LinkedIn, you saw that she had an architecture background.
Yep.
And that you were like, heck yeah, someone that looks like me, who is in the role that I want to be in, I'm going to reach out to them because we have something in common and they're hiring.
Well, I was hoping they hiring. You know, when you see talent pool, you never really know. But I was like, oh, I got to go talk to them. And then Michelle, when she responded, she was like, I like your background. And I was like, yes. I got it. I got one. Yeah.
How?
Right?
Validating
because I was so not apprehensive necessarily, but it is non-traditional, and I've seen plenty of material where people say don't worry about coming from a non-traditional background, but you still do, right? Because you still feel like you don't know what's going on. And so once she saw that, I was like, oh, I don't have to. I almost felt like I needed to underscore my architecture experience to make people feel like I was capable enough to be a UX designer. And I don't have to do that. And no one has to do that because your experience in whatever field you're in still has gotten you to where you are right now. So something has worked or something has clicked in whatever field you're in to get you to UX. So any experience you've had in this non-traditional background is relevant. But in a way, I was like, oh, I got to really highlight, you know, this Google UX course. I got to talk about this internship. I got to talk about all the people I know because they're only going to see architecture and think I can't do this. And that's just, that's not how it goes.
For the people in the back. yes.
One more time. Like, yeah.
Because, and that's the interesting thing about your background and about your experience, the expertise that you bring from your deep knowledge and deep real world experience from being in architecture. And once you're able to connect the dots in that way. I just remember before UX, like my very first ever job was software consulting.
Okay.
And I was a civil engineer major. And I went into an interview and I was so nervous because I didn't really know that much about computers. and I was nervous. And all the interviewer wanted to talk with me about was like, me working on a bridge project as a civil engineer. And they were just so curious and interested in what that experience was like and what I did and how I handled it. And it was like, oh, I can talk about this all day. Like, I know this. Yeah. And when you find someone that is excited and curious about your background and looking at the connective tissue between what you did and what they know the job is and what the day in and day out is and what the work is, that is such an exciting place to be.
For sure. And I also had to remind myself that, like, as long as you're ready to learn stuff and be a good student and be teachable, That's so valuable. And I kept forgetting it, and then I kept having to remind myself of it because I saw it time and time again in architecture where people would come in looking for a job or recently be hired and kind of showcase how much they know. And typically those were the more difficult people to work with, and the people who came in like, hey, you know what? I'm ready to do whatever it is you need help with today, and I'm ready to learn, and I'm going to ask you questions, and I know that's okay, and you're okay with me asking you questions, and we're going to get through this. And 9 times out of 10, those are the preferred people to work with than someone who comes in and is like, I already know what I'm doing. And in some cases, some people do, and that's helpful. But being a good student is more valuable than people think, and it's not a weakness. It's actually, you know, it's a strength. Being teachable is a strength.
Ooh, can we talk about how it feels like a weakness sometimes?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Well, I mean, let's talk about imposter syndrome. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
When you feel that you don't know something or you feel uncomfortable in a setting where you shouldn't, it's okay to ask questions. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to not know what's going on. And, you know, I found people are generally, you know, pretty nice, you know? We have it all worked out in our head that people are going to think we're dumb or, like, you know, they're not going to want to work with us anymore if we ask a question. But I've never really been annoyed when someone asks me a question. So why should I think that I'm not allowed to ask questions?
That's really powerful. Of, like, giving yourself the permission to ask the question. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because there are going to be. And at least in my case, when I was switching careers, I was like, Hannah, how do you... Let's try to think through why you think you can switch careers and you won't have questions. In no way does that make sense to anybody. And no one is going, you know, everyone's going to agree with you that you're going to have questions and everyone's going to be okay with it. But in no way can you say, hey, I just switched careers. I'm in this. I'm really excited about it and I feel prepared, but I'm not going to have any questions. So let's just get to it.
And I feel that so, like, viscerally, because it's like, oh, why do we think that for ourselves? Mm-hmm. Because we're talking about all things career change today, I wanted to share one of my favorite resources. During my career change into UX, affirmations were my favorite way to instill confidence and keep imposter syndrome at bay. During my coursework, job search, and even once starting my first UX role, affirmations were an important part of my daily practice. And so I went through all my past notebooks and compiled the 50 must-have affirmations to help you land your first UX role and supercharge your job search. You can get them by going to uxhustle.org/affirmations. Again, that's uxhustle.org/affirmations for the 50 must-have affirmations to help you land your first UX role and supercharge your job search. Hope you enjoy the rest of this episode. You know, for the person listening that's going through that right now, that's in that job search, that's maybe getting ghosted, not hearing back, or hearing the no's.
Yeah.
What advice do you have for
getting them? Getting ghosted on LinkedIn is real and it hurts. And it's gonna happen. It's one of those things you just gotta brush off. Like I said, it's not fun. And it's even more frustrating because, like, you know, when you're dating, it's an occupational hazard of dating. You don't think it's an occupational hazard of, like, networking, looking for a job, but it is. And it's kind of unexpected. But it happens, and you got to move past it. And what I told myself, similar with dating, if I get ghosted, that wasn't for me. And so if you don't hear back from a recruiter, if you don't hear back from a designer you reached out to, it wasn't meant for you. And it was easier for me to compartmentalize it that way so I could stop worrying about it and spend my energy looking for something else. So choose people and choose opportunities that choose you. And you're going to put your energy where it's supposed to be and you're going to get way less stressed out. And you're going to find way cooler opportunities if you try to look for things that, you know, some people say easy come, easy go. But if it comes easily, sometimes maybe it was meant to. And that's kind of how I feel with this Max Media stuff. Like, sometimes I sit down and I'm like, oh my God, like, I feel like I kind of really lucked into this position. And Michelle's had to tell me a few times, like, no, you didn't luck into this. Like, maybe some things aligned really nicely for you, but you're here for a reason. You're capable, but we want you here as much as you want to be here. And mm-hmm. it's, oh my gosh, can I tell you how nice it is to hear that from from people at my job? It's amazing and it's so validating, and it gives me more confidence to come into work every day and be able to have the space to ask the questions. Because that's another thing I'm really happy to be at Max Media for. It's a really safe environment to ask questions. And it's a really safe environment to feel like I'm learning and people are excited and ready to show me new things and teach me things and give me some of their time to help me. I think that's been one of the things that's really reaffirmed my career switching decision, is the new environment that I'm in. It's impacted my day-to-day life, but overall trajectory in a lot of different ways. And as much as I can say luck's not a huge part of it, it still is. I feel really lucky that I made this decision. That my old coworker told me about it. I don't know how many times I've thought about, like, oh my God, what if he never told me about this? Like, I need to write him thank you notes every day for like the next like 5 years. But a lot of things just lined up. And if you're feeling the call to go check it out, there's no harm in just checking it out.
Mm. And I love what you said about that. My fiance Will says this sometimes, of like, this life was so close to never happening.
Yes.
Of like,
yeah.
I mean, we met at a bar. So it was like if we weren't there at the same time and the same day, if he didn't come up and walk up to me, like, these things are so close to not happening. And that when we're in that openness and that alignment and clear with following our gut instincts of, something about that sounded interesting. Something about that UX thing kind of stuck in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
Enough for me to do something about it. And it's that accumulation of those little things of following your gut, of being true to yourself. But like, being in alignment with yourself and trusting yourself enough to,
right,
like, keep making that decision.
Yes.
And that's so beautiful.
Right. I mean, and that's a hard thing to relay to someone, because – and that's hard – that's been hard for me to hear sometimes, because I'm a very goal-oriented person, and sometimes I don't like the answers I get when it comes to timelines. And I'm like, no, there has to be some way I can go out further this, or I can go out and do it. And sometimes the answer is, no, you gotta sit still and you gotta wait. And that drives me absolutely insane. But at the same time, I do 100% believe what we were just talking about, like, just be open to opportunities, follow your instincts, follow your gut. And for someone who can be very literal, it's hard for me to get that kind of advice, but I also do believe it at the same time. So if something's telling you to go check this out, go check it out. And the fact that it was doable for me to go through the certificate course while still having a job, I think that's what helped me the most. Because if it was a scenario where I had to go back to school, or I had to go to this boot camp and quit the job I was working at, I'm not 100% sure I'd be here. I'd want to be here, but I'm not sure that would be something that I would have been able to physically do.
And that's so interesting, because, like, for me, it was different.
Oh.
Like, for me, I had to quit my job. I had to go into a full-time boot camp, and this wouldn't have been possible for me otherwise.
Oh. Here we go.
And it's just – that's so interesting, yeah, because depending on where you're at, depending on what you need right now, there are so many different ways to get here.
Yeah. And some people need all those different avenues are valid. Obviously, you needed the boot camp. I needed something I could do while still having a job.
Yeah.
And if my only option was quitting my job and investing into something else, I'm not 100% confident that I would have switched into UX. Because I needed that kind of like security blanket of, it's all right, you still have a job, you're going to be fine. You can pay rent this month.
Yeah.
All those little things. I needed some sort of, you know, backup plan like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, like nothing wrong with that.
No.
Knowing that is so important.
Right.
So that you're, again, making those decisions that align with your comfort level mm-hmm. and what makes you confident and secure. Right. I'm curious, now that you've been at Max Media, what has been a challenging aspect of being full-time in this new role?
I think it kind of goes back to, you know, I had a big year last year. I was really busy between the internship, my full-time job, and doing the certificate course. And I had this, I kind of just got a little bit of tunnel vision. I kept my head down and I was like, I got to get through this course. And I had like a certain, you know, amount of steps in front of me that I had to do. So like I can be a very goal-oriented person when I'm very motivated. And so I was like, all right, I have this checklist of things to do. Let's get it done. And there wasn't any sort of like big roadblock within there. It was just do the next thing. And so then once I got to Max Media, it was almost like I finally picked my head up and I was like, oh, okay, all right, I guess I did it. Now we're here. Now you got to go be a UX designer. And it was, that was probably the most difficult part of the whole experience, which sounds a little weird to say because I'd been working towards getting a job in UX and I finally did it. And then I felt like it was difficult because now I was like, all right, now I got to do the things that I learned about. And this is still new and there's a new vernacular, you know, that you have to learn. And so I don't even want to look up how many Google searches I did for just words in the first like month. Cause like I was hearing all these conversations about, you know, front end and back end developing and different programs. I'm like, oh my God, they're speaking a different language. Like I have, I have to get really good at Google just to like, you know, jump into these things, but it comes and it comes easily. And like I said, I'm lucky to be in an environment where no one's going to think I'm dumb for having these questions. And everyone knows I'm not coming from a UX background. And so they're like, it makes sense. It'd kind of be weird if you knew all these things. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the most difficult part, was jumping into the swing of things. And it was something that I had worked myself up for on my own. No one had made me feel uncomfortable or unwanted or incapable. That was me being like, all right, I gotta really prove to them that I'm supposed to be here. Like, I'm coming from a non-traditional background. They probably think I can't do anything. And it's like, Hannah, if they thought you couldn't do anything, why did you get hired? Like, explain to me how you got the offer and you got here. Because obviously they think you're capable. So it was a lot of reminding myself to not worry myself into a corner and think that my teammates didn't have any faith in me.
Mm. And in that role, like once you were starting and once you were hearing the different vocabulary and getting into that, were there times, were you able to lean on some of your architect experience?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think that's definitely something I don't think a lot of people realize, especially architects. You wouldn't think that there are a lot of congruencies between architecture and a profession in the tech field. It just doesn't seem to, you know, be something that would fit together. But there are so many transferable skills that I had coming in from my architecture experience. And I was told this by my other friends who were previously architects, and it was reaffirmed when, you know, I started working at Max Media. But it's the basis of it is it's both of those types of work are client-based design work. So you're going to have the client come to you with an idea, and you're going to have to do the background research to see what you have to work with, what you don't have to work with, what this is trying to become, how people are going to use it, and what the client is asking for. And that's the same. You know, it's very different between a digital platform and a physical space, but that is the same line of thinking. And then once you do have an idea and concepts have gotten approved, then that's when you start building it. So in architecture, you move through concept to schematic design, design development, construction, construction administration. And when it's UX, you know, you have all your background information, your research, your testing, your concept, and then you move from wireframes and you're expanding those wireframes all the way to a prototype until you can deliver the files to dev. And that's the same process. And so I just had to relearn what things were called. So in a lot of cases, it was something like, in architecture, I'm used to the initial phase being called like site analysis. And here we call it like a background audit or like an existing audit, just to see what we have to work with and what we're turning something into. And it's a lot of design revisions, a lot of iterations, which is the same with architecture. And working in that team environment was something I was very comfortable with and very used to. There wasn't any surprises there when it came to working on a team, which I feel very lucky to do. And I've heard that's a big advantage with architects when they switch into the UX field. The team dynamic and the dynamic of that type of work is very, very similar. What else is there? I feel like there's so many things that I feel like I need to touch on, because it's kind of insane that there's so many things that architects already know when it comes to UX. I think project coordination is another thing. By the time I left architecture, I was getting into project management. So that was a lot of coordination between different disciplines. So it was me talking to the other architects, talking to the civil and structural engineers, talking to the general contractor, as well as ownership. And those are very different professions to coordinate. And similar with UX, and I'm still learning all the different, you know, people and different disciplines that there are within it. But, you know, design and dev are very different. And you have a project manager in UX similar to, you know, your general contractor or your, it's actually called the same thing, project manager in architecture. And so the setup was very similar. And I feel very comfortable coordinating design work, because in architecture, you got to check in with your engineers to make sure you can actually build what you've designed. Same with UX. It's just the difference is physical versus digital. You know, if your dev or your civil engineer says, hey, that's physically impossible to build this, you have to go back and revise it. And I'm used to hearing those things, and I'm used to the idea of having to make multiple changes and revisions to a design. So I'm never married or like super emotionally attached to my first design. And I've noticed that in UX too. Like, I know what I draw the first day is going to change. And I think that's been super helpful, because people, I mean, everyone loves the first design they come up with because it's their first idea, right? And they think like, oh, this is great, like I can't believe I thought of this. And then when it has to get changed, feelings get hurt. And that's right. Fair. Sometimes my feelings still get hurt, but I know it's coming. And so there's a lot of congruencies in the design process, how the team works together, and yourself. That's awesome. As a designer, how you're handing off your work.
Was that surprising?
It was, and it wasn't. It was surprising to hear it when I heard it from my friends who had already switched. Because that was the affirming thing for me when I was like, this sounds like I don't know how to do this. And they're like, no, you do, because X, Y, and Z. And I was like, oh, I do. Okay. All right, let's look into this. And then once I got to Max Media, I was like, oh, they weren't lying. Like, this is how it works. Like, I do not. Yeah. Okay, cool. This is awesome. And then there were other things once I started working that I realized were super helpful. Like presentation skills. In architecture school, we're giving presentations all the time, right? And like getting design crits and stuff like that. So we've been from the beginning in that type of environment. And then when you do start practicing architecture, you're still giving client presentations. You're still giving presentations to your principals. So you get very comfortable presenting your ideas. I do that at least once a week at Max Media. And I've gotten a lot of compliments in my presentation style and how I'm able to communicate my design ideas. And I'm 100% confident that was because of architecture. It's just presenting new stuff. And if you've designed it and you understand what you're designing, you're going to be fine. But that was probably the biggest surprise one. I didn't realize I'd be presenting as much as I am in my new job. And I realized very quickly, like, oh, this is a direct transfer from architecture, especially from school. So that was something that I'd had for a long time, but I didn't realize I was going to use quite as much.
And I'm curious for what kind of advice you would give someone who's on a team and there is a new UX designer who has a different background and how best to support that new UX designer?
I think it comes down to being approachable and being a safe place for someone to ask questions, no matter how small they might be. Because I had a lot of small questions in the very beginning. And it was just like, look, I just need to get my bearings of this design software. And then once I get it, like, I'll be fine. But the small questions seemed very, very small and bothersome. But I've had a really great team who's let me ask those kinds of questions and not make me feel like they have less faith in me as a teammate. So I think that's the biggest thing. It's a little bit of an abstract idea and not like, you know, a definitive checklist of stuff, but being willing to be a resource and being understanding that even though they're coming from a non-traditional background, it doesn't mean they're not meant to be there and they're not going to be a good teammate. I mean, there's growing pains with every new job, right? And I think what I'm going to do once I'm in this position longer, mm-hmm. and someone from a non-traditional background comes in, I'm going to like recenter myself and remind myself like, hey, they just went through a pretty intimidating process of switching careers, leaving a skill set they were probably relatively certain they were going to have for a little bit longer. And they've completely switched it, not completely, but they've switched it up in a way where they might be a little bit uncomfortable right now. And that's totally fine. Again, if you're teachable and you're a good student, that's the best thing you can do. So it's like the new people need to be open to hearing criticism and hearing teachings, and the people who are already established on the team need to be an approachable presence for those people, mm-hmm. so they can feel comfortable asking the questions. And then that just creates a stronger team dynamic when you have people you feel like you can trust or you can go to, and all around, that's one of those happy little ecosystems. Like a solid team, nothing better than a solid team where you get along, you can ask questions, you work well together. And that doesn't happen if people are closed off.
That's so true. Ah, what great advice.
I think some of my like biggest frustrations have been within teams where people kind of like isolated themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it intimidated me. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can only go to this person with really big, profound questions or else I feel like I'm wasting my time.
And how much pressure that puts on you,
right.
to make sure you have all your ducks in a row before you go up to that person. And especially when you're newer.
Yeah. In the past, I've had questions where I've like rehearsed them, you know, and if they go off script, I'm like, oh, I did not account for this. And now you're mad at me. And that's stressful. That is so stressful. So everyone's entitled to a grumpy or a bad day, but I think being approachable is the biggest help and the biggest impact you can have.
Well, I have one final question for you. Okay. So you're in an elevator, okay. and a UX designer comes on the elevator with you and asks, how can I be happy in my UX career? What do you tell them?
Well, as someone who's been a UXer for 4 whole months, what do I say to that? I think it's one of those things where you just kind of follow your gut instinct. Like, similar with architecture, I made a lot of assumptions about what type of work I wanted to do. And then I got exposed to the more technical side of construction, and I loved that. And I would not have expected that I would have loved, being on site and working out construction details and doing stuff like that. And I think it's going to be a similar thing with UX. And that's what I've told Michelle. Like, now that I've started working there, she asked, like, do you know where you want to specialize? And I was like, I don't. And I don't want to think about that right now. I kind of want to get exposed to everything. And I want to see, like, where I'm drawn to. So I guess do what you can to be exposed to a bunch of different sides of UX. So at least you know when you do specialize or you decide to stay general that you've looked at everything. Because I think my biggest thing, and if I hadn't switched into UX and I was still doing architecture, that would be a huge what if. That would be bugging the hell out of me right now. And I think with UX, if Mm-hmm. I decided, oh, you know, I like the graphic side. I'm going to be a visual person. And I just went straight into visual. I wouldn't have found that I actually really like user testing. And maybe I just want to be a general UXer and not specialize. Even though going into this, I was like, I've always leaned more artistic. I think I really like doing, like, you know, thinking about branding concepts and the UI side of it. I'm just going to go into UI. I probably would like it, but I probably might not be as happy as if I would have gotten exposed to the front-end research or the user testing. Mm. And I'm still figuring it out. And that's what I'm trying to still do, is get my hands on as much of it as possible so that I can see if I do or don't want to specialize. Because I've already had that experience where I was like, oh, I did not expect myself to like being on construction sites. And it turns out I do.
That's great advice. So much great advice today. Thank you so much, Hannah. You. Where can everybody find you and connect with you?
Let's see. Where can you find me? You can find me on LinkedIn. I am working on my LinkedIn profile.
LinkedIn is perfect. We'll put your LinkedIn in the show notes. People can connect with you there and find your email through LinkedIn too. Yeah.
And thank you, Amanda. This was awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being on the podcast, Hannah. And like, when you connect with Hannah on LinkedIn, tell her what piece of advice really resonated with you, what about her story really resonated with you, so that you can continue that conversation.
And any little architects that want to talk to me, I'm so excited to give you all the inside secrets.
Yes.
It's my mission now.
Well, thank you again.
Yes, thank you, Amanda.
Thank you for listening to the UX Hustle podcast. To continue these conversations, you can follow us on Instagram at the UX Hustle or join our Slack community through the link in our show notes. If you love this episode, please write a review and subscribe.